The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. From the sun to the plant to you, go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all the products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic combining spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Find Terraflora and the full line of products at enviromedica.com. Paleo Magazine, now all digital. Go to paleomagazine.com to subscribe. The Wellbeing Journal, Veg World Magazine, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorn Research. Visit our dispensary at oneliferadio.com for 20% off and free shipping. You can find more information on all of our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the oneliferadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia and on KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. How are you doing today, Ronaldo?
I'm doing great. Here we are, another Friday.
I know, it's Furry Friday. I literally have fur all over me because I was downstairs literally 5 minutes ago. Today is doggy grooming day, so I'm home grooming my pets now, which actually is, it's really kind of fun. You have to have the vacuum cleaner out. And then I was vacuuming, actually literally combing and vacuuming my cats because, you know, they need groom too. It gets, I mean, I have to vacuum pretty much the whole downstairs of my house every single day. Wow. It's like a quickie job, like around the, you know, cat boxes, which I think my last count was like I have 12 cat boxes, something like that. I know that people are saying, what? My gosh, that's so many. But I have to tell you, it goes pretty quick. It takes me about 10 minutes. And, you know, I don't keep, and I use that natural one that's made out of corn. I can't think of the name of it right now. You would think I would know since I do it every single day. But anyway, I love Furry Fridays, and I love having Maura Davies on the air with us, and she's on the phone. I'm going to get to her in just a second. But we've got a great show coming up, you guys. We've got Cody Myler. We're going to be talking more about all the currents of current events in America, all the protests, and racial violence. I feel like when I say that word, I'm saying Rachel, and I have a lot of friends with the name Rachel. Seeing it comes out wrong, so laugh with me. Okay, just laugh with me, okay? When I screw it up, but yeah, we're going to be talking about that. And Robin Perry Braun is on the show. We're going to be talking about the law of entrainment. If you don't know what that is, not falling into collective heightened emotion and having successful discussions during times of heightened emotion. All great stuff. Maura, how are you doing today?
Hi, doing great today. Oh my goodness, it's summer. What happened?
It is. And I was out, you know, rinsing off all my decks this morning, getting rid of the bird poop, because that's something I have to do regularly, too. And it's always great having you on the show. Maura Davies is the Vice President of Communications at the SPCA. That is the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals of North Texas. Their website is spca.org. And today we're talking about, so if you've adopted a pet, now what? So how should someone prepare their home for a new pet, Maura?
Yes. Well, there are a bunch of things. You know, the first one is going to be make sure you have everything that your new pet is going to need to be happy and healthy. This could include, you know, kind of puppy proofing, especially if it's an actual puppy or a kitten. But if it's an adult dog, but you know, just make sure you have the basics for starters, and you can get really fancy. So, food and water dishes. Make sure you're looking for that the food that your pet has been eating, so you can either continue feeding that or transition to something else if needed. Make sure that your pet's going to have that resource of the water. If it's a kitty cat, make sure you already have a litter box in place. Make sure that if there are any exposed wires, you try to tuck those in, or you can get those like wire covers that can be really helpful, or tuck them out of the way. If there are any dangerous plants. Like the cats are especially allergic and allergic as several plants are downright poisonous and can be fatal to cats. There's a long list of them. You can go search online for that long list of those. Anything that's going to be poisonous or dangerous that could hurt your pet, they could fall from, make sure you go through it with your whole place with a critical eye so that you're removing any potential danger and that they have comforts like a bed too. Make sure if it's a dog, you have a collar and leash ready. Then, you know, like I said, you can get fancier, all kinds of toys. Goodness gracious.
Well, and speaking of collars, this is a good time. I do it like every couple of months, especially with a new pet. Check their collar because as they grow, they get too tight. You should be able to get at least 4 fingers. I know it's kind of hard to say 5 because your thumb doesn't really line up with the rest of them, but unless you've got a weird hand. but you don't want it too tight. And you said it's the beginning of summer. Everyone, I started my hot paw alert. You know, if I see somebody, I always very, very kindly say, hey, you know, I just talked to somebody with the SPCA and they reminded me that the pavement, if it's hot for you, that's hot for your animal. So if you're walking your dog, be cognizant of that. I guess some people do walk their cats, but I'll never have time for that. I'll just tell you that. But there's a lot of things, and I would say you have to, before you even bring a pet home, you have to decide whether or not you've got the time, the patience, and the love. And I say patience in a big way because, I mean, you really have to love that animal. I'll give you an example. So yesterday morning, I started up my sprinkler system. It had been off for about a year, I think. I can't remember when I turned it off, but I'm like, you know, I probably should get that back on. And so I went and I turned it on and it was working fine, but I didn't, and I have beautiful magnolias all over my property that I planted about 15 years ago. And they have water sources to them with the sprinkler system. So anyway, long story short, the sprinkler system under the magnolia, which I hadn't seen in like a year, got everything really wet. Well, my new dog, Love, apparently, I don't know what he's a mix with. I know he's got some pit bull in him, but we don't know. Everybody's been trying to figure out what the other part of him is, but the dog loved water. So last night when he was underneath the tree, he was underneath the tree and I didn't see him, you know, and he was, I mean, I saw him, but I didn't see what he was doing. I didn't really pay close attention, but he was playing with the water sprinkler and created this big thing of mud underneath the tree and was rolling in the mud and was so excited. He got up and he came running at me and he actually hit one of the pillars and almost knocked himself out. And so I was like, oh my gosh, Love, calm down. You have to be careful and you have to have a huge heart and a lot of patience because, you know, had he gotten mud everywhere, you got to clean it up, you know, and you can't lose your mind over stuff like that. So just be mentally prepared when you bring a pet home. That's my biggest message as an animal lover.
I love that too. Yes. Know that when you bring a pet home, the ideal situation is you being in that spot, whether it's mentally, physically, et cetera, to know you're going to make that commitment for that pet for the duration of their lifetime, knowing that there will be that care, there will be messes. And that's, you know, honestly, the pets give us so much more. They're members of our family, they're best friends, they're confidants. They're amazing. I couldn't imagine my life without pets.
Well, me either. Well, and I probably have a little too many. Everybody says that to me. But you know what? Don't judge, because if I didn't have them, they'd be on the street or they would be dead. So, you know, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do, for me personally and for the environment too. And by the way, today is Happy World Environment Day. So, you know, we put a post up about a book, Silent Spring by Rachel Carson. And she's been, I think she passed away a few years ago, but she wrote this book 50 years ago and it is so forward thinking and so spot on. I encourage everyone who loves this earth like I do and wants to keep our environment clean to order a copy of Silent Spring. And as you read it, you'll be astounded that this book was written 50 years ago. She was an incredible leader and we all need to pay attention. So Happy World Environment Day to everyone out there as well. But let's talk about this real quick because this is something that's so important, Maura. You know it. I know it. All animal lovers know this, that a newly adopted pet will be more than likely to be nervous and show all kinds of signs of anxiety in their new surroundings. And so what behaviors are normal for a pet's first few days, or even I say their first few weeks or months in their home, and what can we do to help them?
Sure. No, this is very important information too, because there a lot of things could potentially be very worrisome for the new human family member of the new four-legged furry family member. But there are certain behaviors that are normal. Hiding, if your pet is hiding, let them hide. If it's under a bed, if it's in their crate, again, make that crate a really nice, cozy, safe spot for them with treats and all kinds of good stuff. But hiding. They could not eat for a little bit. They may not drink for a little bit. They might be a little bit more fussy, could be a little bit more irritable, could potentially show signs of being separation anxiety at first, mm-hmm. or that could be an ongoing behavioral issue that you'll need to address. But there's a big range of what's normal. Now, if anything gets to the point where they're just not eating, they are not drinking, they're not going to the bathroom, they have some other health situation, like they're panting mm-hmm. excessively for an excessive amount of time where you worry about them, those different behaviors could indicate a much more serious issue, and that would be time to call your veterinarian on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it could be this. A lot of times the opposite of that, where they don't eat and drink, or they eat or drink too much, and then they throw it up because they're just nervous wrecks. And
yep.
so,
exactly.
You know, just give them time, like you would yourself, to adjust to any new environment. It's really important. And are there any other ways to prepare for other pets for a new, you know, like me? Okay, so I've got all these pets, like, you know, bringing new ones home. So, of course, I'm kind of an expert in this field, kind of, sort of. But for the people out there listening, should we have let me say this. Are there ways to prepare your other pets for the new arrival that work?
You can. I've heard different people give different advice. Everything from, you know, bring something with that new pet smell on it home. If it's a cat, especially, and you're not going to take them to a different area. Especially for dogs, make their first meet and greet on a neutral territory. So maybe it's just not your home or your yard. That way mm-hmm. your current dog may feel less predisposed to be protective of their home environment, and they can have
right.
that good meet and greet in a neutral spot. And I mean, you can pick any number of neutral spots. Those are probably the two that I've heard the most. But honestly, just also being very patient. Even if it's a cat or a dog, give the new pet and the current pet space. The example I give, when I brought home my new cat Opal a few years ago, our cat Hemingway, we couldn't take them to a neutral place to have them meet. And so we kept Opal in the same room with a separate litter box, separate water and food for almost a week. And they sniffed each other through the door. And by the time they got to know each other in person, they weren't best friends, but there wasn't violence.
Right. Well, you know, and there's, I was going to ask you, are there resources to help when an adopted pet isn't adjusting well? And also, there's mm-hmm. so much information I want to get out here. I can't think of the name of them. They're downstairs, but I've mentioned them on the show a couple of times. There's these little peanut butter squares. They work remarkable. If you bring home a new dog, mm-hmm. you can give it to them or if there's thunderstorms coming or whatever that really work. I order them by the case on Amazon, and I can't think of what the name of them is right now, but I'll get it after the break. I'll run downstairs and grab one. But it's so important to remember so many things about taking care of our pets, especially right now during COVID-19. Not everybody is back up and running the grooming business. And so I want to put this out there, too. So this morning when I was grooming Susie, she's the first one I started with, her dew claws on the side of her. And a lot of people don't know what those are, but they're the claws that are kind of like the fingers, if you will, on our hands on the side. And they're very difficult to see, especially if you have a furry dog, but they can get so long that they can actually grow in a circle and grow back in to the pet's paw. And so you have to be mm-hmm. really careful not to clip them too short too, like take your time. And if you don't have the patience to do it, get someone in your family or a friend that really is patient and not afraid to do it properly.
Yeah, so that's really important because, yeah, those dew claws do grow. So they need to be clipped just like all the other fingernails on a pet or toenails on a pet.
Well, yeah, and even if you only clip a little bit, you know, but do it more often, the pet will be mm-hmm. more comfortable, and then you'll never take the risk of, you know, going too far into the what do they call it, the bed of the nail, right?
Yeah. The pad of the, like,
there
the little paw pad.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of paw
pads,
you call them the beans. Yeah, there you go.
The beans.
Well, you know, poor little Love, who I found at Walmart now, I think it's been about 6 weeks since I found him. His nails were so short when I found him. They were right down to the, like, to the very Ooh. Quick, and they still haven't grown very much. I'm guessing he was on the street for months as an unneutered puppy mm-hmm. who maybe got tossed aside or just, I don't know. There's no excuse for it, in my opinion. You can do the right thing. Always, you have a choice. So, and if you see an animal out there, please help it to find its way back home, or call the SPCA and let them help you. Because there are a lot of resources out there to help all the pet lovers, aren't there?
Yes. Oh my gosh, there's so many. SPCA.org, we can help out. We have a customer care center that is on the phone 7 days a week. If people are looking for resources, it's 214-742-7722. And we have a pet resource center if there are people who've been affected by COVID-19 for whatever reason are really needing to have a supply of food for their pet, other resources for their pet, medical, that people can reach out to us to just that same phone number or our website, either way.
Well, we'll put a post out for it. How about that with the phone number? Awesome. Because I there are a lot of people that don't even have money to feed themselves, and it's just really sad. I mean, I sent my niece money again yesterday to get cat food for her cat. She adopted a cat where she's living in Seattle, and she lost her job, you know, and she's trying to find another one. But a lot of people are out there suffering, and so are their pets. So everybody, be generous. If you've got an extra, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 bucks, you know, donate it to the SPCA. It's really easy. You can do it online. And you can also sign up for automatic withdrawal, right, where you give like $5 a month or $10 a month?
You can. You can set up for recurring giving. Thank you so much. Yes, the SPCA of Texas is here to serve our community and to help provide any services, resources that anybody needs out there to help them give the love and care for their pets that because we know everybody loves their pets.
Yeah, they do. And if they don't, they're bad. They're just not good people. I judge people not all of them, because some people, you know, Ronaldo, I'm going to bring you into this because your mother-in-law didn't like cats at first, but when she met your cat Phoebe, now everything's cool. People have sometimes just unreasonable fears based on childhood experiences or what have you. If someone really, really doesn't like animals, that's kind of not a good sign, in my opinion. So steer clear of them. But always great to have you on the show with us, Maura. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today.
Thank you so very much.
All right, Maura. We'll be back, you guys. We've got a great show coming up. Robin Perry Braun is with us and Cody Myler. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis and Robin Perry Braun. She holds a master's in psychology and is a holistic energy practitioner who has also worked with sexual addictions for over 18 years. She is an emotion code and integrated life process practitioner, ordained minister, author, and speaker. She has created her own certified energy modality and holds trainings live and online. She does virtual sessions all over the world and uses a holistic approach to address mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical issues. You can find her at integratedlifestrategies.com. That's integratedlifestrategies.com. Today, we're talking about, as I said earlier, the law of entrainment, not falling into collective heightened emotion and having successful discussions during times of heightened emotion. So my first question, first Robin, hello. Welcome. Hey. How are you doing today?
Hey. Good.
Good.
I had a problem this morning, so I'm in a great place.
You what? I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well.
I had a massage this morning. All right, let me take it off of.
Yeah.
Is that
can't hear you.
Is that better?
That's a lot better, yeah, because we want to be able to hear you.
I had it on headphones.
That's okay. I understand, but thank you so much. I can hear you much better now. So let me ask you this. What is the law of entrainment?
So the best way to understand that, entrainment basically says that frequencies do not like to conflict or interfere with each other, so they will move towards alignment or resonance. A couple of easy to understand examples would be if you play a G string on a guitar and there's another G string nearby, the G string or guitar nearby, the G will start to vibrate from the first guitar. Tuning mm-hmm. forks would be if I hit a tuning fork, another one nearby at that same frequency will start to vibrate. They did an experiment where they took 64 metronomes, and a metronome is that little clicky thing that you use to keep rhythm with an instrument. And they put 64, 8x8, on a floating table, and they set them all to different frequencies, different paces. And within 5 minutes, they were all going in the same direction at the same timing and rhythm. So basically what wow. entrainment says is that whatever the dominant energy is, we are moved towards alignment or resonance with the dominant energy because energies do not like to interfere with each other. So they're more likely mm-hmm. to align.
It's really interesting. It really is. I looked up the definition of entrainment. I'm like, entrainment, what does that mean? Makes sense, though, to entrain, like train. But to draw along with or after oneself, or to draw in and transport something, such as solid particles or gas by the flow of a fluid, or to incorporate into concrete to determine or modify the phase or period of circadian rhythms entrained by a light cycle. Very, very interesting stuff. Let me ask you this. So, and hold on a second. I lost something. Hold on, you guys. Bear with me. Oh, here it is. Sorry. I rarely do that because that's why you shouldn't move the paper. But so let me ask you this. How does this work collectively? How do we get triggered as human beings?
Okay. And so, it's not rocket science to figure out why I'm talking about this today. When you have a group or just overall a heightened state of emotion, we can call it a bandwagon or jumping on a bandwagon, that mm-hmm. energy is a very strong, powerful force. And so as an individual, we are, if we're not conscious about it, we are going to more likely get sucked into that emotion. If I walk into a room of 10 angry people, I'm going to start feeling feelings of anger and not know why, unless I'm very intentional at walking into that room, knowing that's what I'm walking into and I'm kind of prepared for that. But energetically, my frequency or my vibration, my body is going to want to entrain with what's in the room. And so if people are super sensitive energetically, they don't like being around anxious people because anxious people mm-hmm. make them feel anxious. Their body is going to tend to entrain with that frequency and be like that. So when we have kind of a mass thing going on, it's a strong energy we see as emotion, but from a vibrational standpoint, it's a very strong collective vibration.
Well, and we've all experienced it. And yet, some people still think, oh, that sounds hokey. How can that be?
Right.
But it's very real science.
Absolutely. That's why I said I showed the metronome experiment, because you can YouTube it. Metronome experiment. It's YouTubeable and you can watch it for yourself. So a lot of times women will say, five women will move into a house together and then their menstrual cycles will all start to line up and be on the same day. So mm-hmm. that's all law of entrainment. Musicians totally understand entrainment. It has to do with frequencies and vibrations and harmony, about harmony or alignment. But it's also true with emotional energy. Every emotion has a frequency or a vibration.
Yes,
and so
absolutely.
Being triggered isn't necessarily about the topic. We can get triggered by a frequency that connects to us in a way that we have a negative, memory or a negative experience with that particular mm-hmm. vibration. So if I have a lot of trauma around anger and I walk in a room and somebody's angry, I can feel it immediately and I'll get very uncomfortable mm-hmm. and not know why.
Yeah, no.
But it's automatic.
Right, right. Well, and we talked with Maura Davies about animals, dogs, cats. They know this energy too. That's why,
Absolutely.
When a dog is a little leery of someone, it's because they're picking up on their bad energy.
Right. Or fear. Fear energy too.
Or fear. Yeah, yeah. Well, so let me ask you this. How do we get triggered by this?
Well, trying to be applicable to now is we have an opinion and we're all entitled to one. But when we're in a state of heightened emotion, we don't necessarily recognize that we're not actually being very objective, because the emotion makes us, you know, not realize that there's a lot more going on than the topic we're dealing with. And so we can tend to overreact. We can tend to just be very emotional because we're just in an atmosphere of heightened emotion. Mm-hmm. And so so it makes it difficult to have rational discussions, because, you know, just like when, for women listening, when you're PMSing, everything is a much bigger deal, right? Because your hormones are off. So it's the same concept when we have a collective, meaning a large number of people kind of in this heightened state of emotion. It just affects everybody. It's kind of like a full moon. Every daycare worker knows when there's a full moon because the kids act out.
Yep. Well, there's a full moon last night. But, you know, I think of media and the coverage that we're seeing all over social media, mainstream media, and how it exacerbates, you know, this heightened, this fear. Because when you walk away from it and you turn your television off, after a few hours, you're not feeling it so much. You know, you have time to, like, wash yourself from it, if you will. But it's definitely, it works collectively. And that's one of the reasons, you know, a lot of leaders have been you know, advising people to turn off their television, stay off of their social media, and try to shut down this collective fear that's happening all over the world, but especially here in America.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, okay, I don't want to run out of time. Let me ask you this. So, this kind of rolls over into having successful discussions during times of heightened emotion. So, what is listening to understand versus listening to react or be right? What's the difference? I love this question.
Well, first of all, we have to come from an intention that that there's more than one opinion and there's more than one angle. We have to come from an intention of, hey, I'm entitled to my opinion. I'm entitled to be heard, and so are you. And and really, without getting into a big overarching principle or argument about it, but the root of racism is deciding that one person or type of person is more valuable than another type of person. Mm-hmm. So when we argue about stuff, if we're not behaving in a valuing the other person, we're doing the same thing at its root. Now, I know people get mad at that, but it's the same principle. If I'm not valuing you enough to give you the right to have your opinion and listen to your rationale, so first of all, I want to start with, hey, I value you enough to give you the right to have an opinion, because I have an opinion and I want you to value me enough to have the right to have an opinion, even if they differ. So we have to start with that assumption. The second thing we have to do is, we're not mind readers, and we should not assume the other person is angry, hostile, negative, violent, whatever, or that they don't have the capacity to understand. So giving the other person the same dignity that you would want them to give you. So we start with that. And then secondly, we have to have a recognition of, do we have a need to be right? Is our personality one of those where we just need to be right? And if we do, we should just avoid these conversations. But we are in, when fear is high, we respond to fear primarily with fight or flight. So we're either going to avoid difficult conversations altogether, or we're going to engage to them. But if we're in a state of fear, we're going to be more in a fight mode. It's hard to listen and hear when you're in fight. And there's no peace in that. You're not going to come to a peaceful resolution ever. So starting out with just kind of setting your framework that says, hey, even if this person disagrees with me or has a different opinion, it doesn't make their opinion wrong. We can both be entitled to have differing opinions. There's not one absolute truth. There's we gain understanding and education when we listen to multiple angles of things.
Absolutely. And, you know, and everybody is entitled to their opinion. And after all, it's just an opinion. It doesn't make it fact necessarily. And I love talking about this because I think this is so important that we understand that we must listen to one another. We really must listen in order to really have change. And so We're almost out of time, Robin. I only have about a minute or two. How do we have constructive conversations when emotions are high in particular? Is there any keys?
Yeah. So if I know that I'm triggered and I'm emotional, I have two choices. One, I would either say, hey, I want to be what's called consciously competent. I want to go, hey, I'm really upset right now. This isn't the best time to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Or secondly, I'm going to go, I'm really upset right now and I recognize I'm upset, but I'm not going to come. I'm still going to listen. I'm still going to, if I recognize I'm upset and I'm triggered, then sometimes I can still be in the moment and participate without being irrational, angry, or hostile or aggressive. Now that's a little bit harder skill to learn, but when this mm-hmm. thing carries on for days at a time, and we definitely don't want to have those conversations right after we watch the news, whose job right. is well, to incite heightened emotion.
Well, and when you're in a state of heightened emotion and you're yelling or you're screaming or you're being accusatory or pointing your finger, no one's going to listen to you, just by the way,
right.
because it
That's
makes
right.
people run. It shuts them down. Nobody's going to listen to what you're saying anyway. So if you really want to have an intelligent conversation, you have to keep your emotions in check.
Absolutely. And just recognizing right. that there's all these triggers going on to put you in a heightened state of emotion mm-hmm. and stepping mm-hmm. back and going, right now, my perception is a little colored by the emotion, and I'm just going to mm-hmm. own that. So, you know, tomorrow I might have to apologize because I was, you know, maybe a little off base. And maybe I still communicated my opinion well and even heard your opinion, but I might have overreacted a little bit in the yeah. way I handled that. And so that's yeah. the mature kind of response, is acknowledging
right.
this is hard. This is hard.
Right. And apologize.
Okay. And apologize.
Yeah, and apologize. And then don't repeat the behavior. Like, do the work that it takes to get control of yourself and your emotions so you yeah. don't harm other people. All right, we're going to go to break. It's always a great pleasure to have you on the show. Robin Perry Braun, she's my personal shrink, just by the way. I always like to tell people that. I do. And I think it's important to you know, work on yourself daily. You can find Robin at integratedlifestrategies.com, or you can email her personally at integratedlifestrategies@gmail.com. Have a good weekend, Robin. We'll talk to you next week.
You too. Okay, honey. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone. The show is continuing on with Cody Myler coming up next. We're going to be talking about his podcast last night regarding the current state of America. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
That's Enviromedica.com.
I love it. I'm sitting here slapping my knee, getting ready to dance. TJIF, everyone. It is Friday, and I've got Cody Myler with me and Ronaldo Davis.
Cody is also known as the Keto Cowboy. He's my favorite cowboy. In fact, he is a health and fitness expert, trainer, instructor, and business owner. He holds a bachelor's in exercise psychology, a master's in sports management, and over 20 different fitness certifications. In 2019, Cody founded the National Athletic Keto Association, or NACA as it's known, hosting the first keto carnivore bodybuilding competition. He is the owner of NXT Rep Fitness, a 24-hour workout facility offering specialized workout and nutrition programs designed around an individual's needs and a fitness level. So you can visit him at his website, MylerFlex.com. That's MylerFlex.com, or on Instagram at Myler_Flex, or on Facebook at NXT REP Fitness. Always a pleasure. Cody, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Did you get any rest? You were up late.
I was up late, that's for sure. Not a little longer than intended, but, you know,
yeah.
I think it needed to be done.
Well, you know, I committed to listening, and typically when I commit to something, I follow through, and I actually fell asleep with my phone in my hand. You guys put me to sleep at the very end because it was so long, and I had been, I'd only had like 2 hours sleep the night before because my daughter was sick with a little bit something up with her stomach, and so I didn't get a lot of rest the night before, but I watched pretty much the whole thing, and today we're following up from Cody's MF Fitness Live podcast last night regarding the current state of America. So, you know, we're excited about your new podcast, and I love, you know, getting behind my friends and encouraging them, you know, to do whatever it is they're most passionate about. And so the MF Fitness podcast, let's talk about that. Can you tell our listeners what they'll hear when they tune in, and what the typical topics that you guys talk about?
Yeah. So I started that podcast about a year and a half ago. It was originally called the Myler Flex Podcast. So that's where the MF comes into play. We kind of changed the format a little bit. But my biggest mission outside of informing people about fitness and different routines and nutrition was really I've been in the fitness industry for a long time and have met a lot of different people and different trainers and gotten to see there's a lot of backstabbing, a lot of people think that they're entitled. And I wanted to actually bring my competition onto the podcast and talk to them and just have a more open dialogue instead of saying, well, I'm the best trainer in the world and nobody else is better. Well, you know, I wanted to bring them on and let's talk. And I promote, I wanted to be the one to promote them. Even though they're my competition, I promote them. So I have a lot more other trainers and fitness professionals that come on there and speak about their styles and their point of views. And I wanted to eliminate that whole buffer of, oh, I'm better than everybody else type of deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, competition breeds success. It's so true. And so, you know, and I think it's great. You know, we kind of, you know, you're competition for me too, but I don't care. Like I said, competition breeds success, and you've become a dear friend to everyone at One Life Radio. You and your wife, Chris, are amazing people. And I love supporting people that are out there trying to do good in the world. So last night on your podcast, you did a Facebook Live interview with Jackie Robinson, owner of Raw Roots Juices, discussing the state of America amid nationwide protesting. So what were you wanting the listeners to take away from the conversation? What did you personally want to learn as well?
I think the biggest mission out of last night's podcast is that, kind of to piggyback off of the lady that you were interviewing earlier, and she was talking about the vibrations and the people that you're around, you kind of pick up on. Well, the one thing that I've noticed over the years, and I've had people, you know, give them advice about relationships, and the number one aspect that I think is the biggest aspect is communication. And I think without communication, you don't build trust, you don't build love, you don't build all the other factors that go underneath that. And I had to speak up as the white, as a regular Joe white American, I had to speak up and say that I support, and we need more people to open their mouths and communicate that. Yes, listening is important, but you're not going to listen to silence. We have to talk. And so as just a regular Joe American, and I've had my you heard my stories of things that happened to me growing up, and I can relate to the type of pain and anger that others feel when they're disrespected and when they're hurt just because they're different. And I think not only does white America need to speak, but I also think Black America, Hispanic America, all that, we all need to speak and know that we are on the same level. But without that, we're going to have the small groups out there that will never join us. But I think as long as the majority is on, we're okay.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, I'd like to bring Ronaldo into this discussion as a Black American male. So Ronaldo, what do you want to say about what we're talking about?
I think the most important thing is educating yourselves on the American history of what's going on.
And that's it?
I mean, yeah, because it's been happening. This is nothing new.
Right.
So I feel like if you really want to know what's going on, you have to educate yourselves, because they're only going to tell you so much in the history books. I mean, you all know about slavery, but you don't know the details of it and the extent of it. What happened after slavery? You know, and what's still happening. You got systematic racism as well. So it's a long history in America's history. This is American history because it happened on American soil. And I believe this is one of the things this is the skeleton that's in America's closet, you know, that America really doesn't want to put out there and want everyone to see. And when it's recorded like it was, and when everyone sees it, this is the results of what happens. This is an outrage, you know. So I feel like people just need to educate themselves on the history between police officers and Black America.
I agree 100%. I do. And so, you know, discussing race is difficult. Why do you think it is so difficult, Ronaldo?
Once again, I mean, it's the history. I mean, it's one of those subjects, you know, just like religion and politics. You know, it's a lot of opinions to it. And I feel like if you really want to get to it, I mean, it's really in the history books. I mean, history repeats itself. I mean, that's pretty much what I can say in my opinion. I can't speak for every Black person out there, but in my opinion, I believe it's all in the history.
Also, I want to kind of chime in. It makes people uncomfortable. I mean, I have a lot of Indian blood in me. And when I talk about the Indian massacre, that was the biggest killing of all time of any race.
Right. mm-hmm.
It makes people uncomfortable when they hear that. And we need to get uncomfortable.
Right.
We need to learn the facts so that way understand each other.
Right. But this is a big question here. At what point do we put the past away, which happens to be the lyrics to one of my favorite songs? But when do you put the past away and start to move forward with a clean slate? I mean, it's like a couple, you know, if they have a fight and they fight about the same thing over and over and over again. If you can't put the past away, you can never move forward. You get stuck in it. And so I don't know what it will take to put the past away. I guess for the violence to stop, number one, and for people to just sit down and really listen to one another, really, really listen, and just, you know, open their minds that it might not be like you think it is. And I think, Ronaldo, you make a great point. Everyone needs to know the history of the Black American and the plight that they have been through in order to understand, because you can't have peace until you have understanding. And I think this is a good time to go to break. So we're going to go to break for station identification, commercial break as well. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio with Ronaldo Davis, myself, and Cody Myler. We'll be right back.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we have Cody Myler on the line with us as well. He is known as the Keto Cowboy, and he is a health and fitness expert, trainer, instructor, and business owner. We're talking about a follow-up, actually, from Cody's Fitness Live, MF Fitness Live podcast last night regarding the current state of America. So, you know, as I said, discussing race is difficult, and we talked about that right before the break. And so, Cody, I'm going to ask you, and then I'm going to ask you, Ronaldo, probably the same question, but did you have any hesitation in regard to the type of questions that you would ask last night? And were you surprised at some of the answers? Were you surprised at all?
Well, no, I didn't have any hesitation. And I guess because I know those guys, you know, so I know their feelings. I know who they are. I didn't really have any hesitation. There might have been one question that I asked them. I said, tell me if I'm out of bounds. But let's say the next killing, that, because there will be, unfortunately, but another person killed by cops is a white person. Can we all unite and everybody talk on that? Because now did you see what's on the street going to the White House today?
No.
On the street, they painted Black Lives Matters. I mean, the voice, and there was just as many blacks and just as many whites out there painting that. The voice is out there. So now the narrative can come and it can change of, listen, cops can't just get away with killing anybody. So if the next one is white or black or Hispanic, we all need to speak up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We've only got about a minute. Ronaldo, I'm going to let you finish up the show. I'm going to ask you to respond to what he just said. What are your thoughts on that before we end the show?
I totally agree. It's about human rights as well.
Okay.
That's pretty much what I can say about that. I mean, it's really about human rights. And yes, the outrage should be as equal if a black cop did that to a white person, or if a white cop did that to a white person. You know, we have to get rid of the narrative with color and start respecting human rights and not just rights about
all
color.
Life.
Yeah.
Well, I say all life because, you know, we mistreat animals as well, and everybody thinks that's okay. And I think it's a trickle down, if you will. Everything is a trickle down from the top, no matter if it's a business, if it's a home, or if it's an industry, whatever it is, it's a trickle down attitude from the top. And I think that's where we need to go first, is address other inhumane treatment that's going on all over the world, and that includes animals. They are life, and they need respected as well. Even if we want to eat them, we still need to respect them. Is that the music that I hear, Ronaldo? Are we ready to go off the air?
Yep. That's it.
All right. Cody, thank you so much. We're going to continue this conversation with you the next time you're on. I thought the podcast was great, and thanks so much for alerting us so I could be involved in it. Everyone out there, have a great weekend. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there and make the most of it.